Alex, websites are a giant investment businesses make, and frankly, most of them don't actually report on what the return on that initial investment is in a way that's clear to all their business owners. It's a problem we have to start solving, man.
Absolutely. Let's talk about it.
You're listening to the Endless Customers Podcast, where we help you earn trust and win customers in the age of AI.
Welcome back to the show. This is Endless Customers. My name's Alex Winter, and today I am joined by Vin Gaeta, our head of web strategy. And also, Spider-Man? Is that true? Word on the street, you're Spider-Man?
I mean, head of the web team. It's kind of there.
Same thing, same difference. Peter Parker, what up? No, hey, thanks for being on the show. Really happy to have you here, man.
It's a wonder to be back, man. Excited to chat through our topic for today.
Excellent. Well, we have a good topic today. We're talking about ROI when it comes to websites. And I think this is a big topic for business owners and for even just like entrepreneurs and people that are starting out that are trying to build a website and they don't really know what it should cost, what type of return they should get on their investment. I don't even think some people realize that their website should be returning an investment and to use it as a tool in that sense. So I think we need to keep it high level to start, just because if we get into the weeds and the specifics, there's so many different variables, right? Yeah. So let's just talk generally speaking, what type of ROI or what is the ROI people should be looking for when they're starting out on their website journey?
Yeah. It looks at a couple buckets, right? So if you look at your website, you obviously, if you're going to invest in revamping your website, you want to see an increase in leads. That's what everyone looks at. It's leads and traffic. Those are the two metrics most companies start talking about when you redesign your website. But if you're actually putting the right things in place, your ROI should be more than that. You should be seeing a considered drop in your time to close, right? If we're building websites in the right way, we're educating our users, we're creating the right website. And that goes into what you're going to see for a return on investment. If you're creating the wrong website, you're not going to see that return. The right websites can help shorten your sales cycle, can help increase your revenue faster. And it's not just about traffic and leads.
Yeah, I like that.
It all goes together.
Yeah, no, that all sounds good. And I think that's what people want. I think the stigma with websites for most business owners is like, I just keep throwing money at it. It costs a lot of money. It's expensive to get good developers and to set it up correctly. They don't really think of it as an income stream necessarily. So how do you shift that perception with business owners and get them to see the value in gaining traffic, leads, and sales and turning your site into something that can actually produce revenue?
Well, it comes down to where has our website been? Is it what we usually see, right? Many companies view their websites as no more than a brochure. It's there. We've got a presence. We have a web page. We can point people to it.
We did it.
Like we put the thing up there, whether it gets updated or not, it's there. And you spent between a couple hundred, couple thousand, tens of thousands of dollars on the website and you did it. We had confetti fall from the sky. We celebrated and then we went on our other stuff, right? And then it sits and then four or five years later, we've realized it's not doing what we wanted it to do or what we thought it was going to do. Redo the website again. But if you're looking at it in a way that it's the next step in your evolution, right? We talk about the website being one of your best salespeople. It is likely one of the first impressions that you can put in front of your prospect. If I'm going to look for a solution to my problem, I'm probably going to land on a website at some point, or I'm going to ask a robot and the robot's going to guide me to a business that I will likely land on a website for, right? Mm-hmm. All roads lead to websites nowadays. And that's part of our ROI as well. That brand recognition, that ability to build trust better than your competition, that's part of the return you see from a properly strategized website.
Yeah. Oh, and that's really important. Search is everything nowadays. And especially with artificial intelligence and with generative AI and the way things are going, I feel like search and having a website to be found is more important than ever. But it also seems like the more you invest, the better of a chance you have to have success with your website. Is that correct in saying that? Or if not, can you kind of lay out, because I feel like in my head, I'm hearing if I invest a lot of money and I do this correctly, it'll eventually return really well for me versus if I set it up incorrectly, then I got to fix it and spend more money and it's not going to work. So like, is that true that I'm saying that correct?
Websites can't be a set it and forget it type of tool. And that's what it is. It's a tool. It's an engine. And that engine needs to be maintained. It needs oil. It needs gasoline. It needs stuff to make the thing run.
Yeah.
Gasoline of websites is a content engine. And the maintenance is conversion rate optimization. It's looking at what you created, that initial investment, and making sure you're getting the most out of it over the long haul, right?
Yeah.
Every website, no matter how much strategy a company puts into it, is based off fundamental assumptions of what we know to be true, what we're seeing in the data, what we believe is the right journey for our users. But you know who knows the right journey for our users? Our users.
The users.
And that's where things like, you'll hear terms like conversion rate optimization, user journey optimization. Looking at the behavioral data, what our users are actually telling us in recordings and heat maps and things like that, that's where the long-term ROI comes in, because you're not just building a website and letting it do its thing. You are looking at what users are interacting with, what walls they might run into. Every website has a dead end somewhere in it that if you fix, if you optimize, you are going to see more leads, more traction in your sales process, and better revenue from that. But that is, to your point, Alex, that's an investment to make. And what that looks like, that investment, is different for various companies. I was, Wise Owl does a lot of reporting, and every year they put out different marketing and video stats and stuff like that. And one of the recent stats they dropped was something like 48% of companies don't have a motion around optimizing their website. 48 of companies just build it, say, go do your thing, and never look at the data.
So literally half of the businesses out there in the world
are competitors are not doing this, y'all. Like, they are happy with status quo of their website. So if you look at your websites and things aren't changing, it's the same website you've seen for 2 years, you're leaving money on the table. You made an initial investment of hundreds, potentially thousands of dollars, and you took that vehicle and just didn't put oil in it, didn't put gas in it, and let it sit. Didn't learn about what was actually the right way to drive that engine.
Yeah.
That's where the ROI long-term comes in for your website, is keeping it alive and breathing and learning from what it's telling you versus just letting it sit there.
Yeah, no, that makes total sense when you say it out loud. And I don't know if a lot of people think that way. And, you know, we've been in this world long enough that that's almost second nature to us. But for a lot of people out there, I don't think they go through the thought process of like, this is for our users, this is for our potential customers. They go like, this is what I want my site to look like, and this is what I think our branding should be, and it's all me instead of them and the end user, which is, when you think about it, very they ask you answer, is to stop thinking about us and we and thinking about them, right? So you had mentioned heat mapping and different tools. I'm sure those cost money and are extra, but those sound like a sound investment to make, because it really allows you to have that visibility. So are there some tools like that that you would recommend for people?
There's a bunch, and they start from free and they, to your point, go up to money, right?
Yeah.
Lucky Orange is one that we use day in and day out at Impact. Microsoft released Clarity. That's another free tool that you can put onto your website. Hotjar, another great one that we've used in the past. There's 100 of them out there. Those are some of the ones that we go to and hear all the time. Crazy Egg is another one.
Crazy Egg. With that. I love some of these names.
That's a great names. But so, tool of choice, flavor of choice, whatever you want to go with, at the end of the day, if we're not looking at what the data is telling us, if we're not actually looking at how our site is performing, how the tool that we created is actually functioning, you're never going to actualize what your ROI could be. You might see an uptick. You might not. And that goes for any agency, right? You're making fundamental assumptions and strategy that's founded on things that you have seen be successful in the past and what you know to be true, what the data shows.
Right.
But until you put that in practice, you don't know if it's actually going to work. You don't know what the user will actually engage with. If they get stuck at a certain point in a page, the heat map, the actual data will show you that. And you could say, what happens if we put a new button there? Does that drive them to the page and actually get them to talk to our team in a better way? Without that insight, you're not going to know.
Yeah, see, now we're talking, right? Because those insights are critical and directly affect your return on your investment from your site. So can we talk a little bit about, that's one facet of it, looking at some of these heat mapping tools, but like overall, why is data so important when it comes to measuring success, and how can you leverage like a CRM or different data points to not just guesstimate and go like, oh, it seems like traffic is up, it seems like we're doing good. Like, you could say that all day, but like, how do you actually quantify it in a real way?
With the right reporting, you should be able to close the entire loop and look at a user's journey from Alex joined my website, landed on this blog about websites, read three articles, and then converted on this offer. After that offer, he did X, Y, and Z, and ultimately turned into a customer that yielded this amount for the year, right?
Right.
You should be able to have a dashboard that says that piece of content generated through attribution this amount for 2024. That's the gold standard. That's what we want to see, because now you can actually see we put content into this website engine and look at what it is actually returning for us. That effort of building, maintaining, and cranking stuff through our tool, our sales tool of a website, That one article generated $200,000, $300,000, $400,000 over this year. One piece of content. That is crazy powerful when you look at that. And then you double down and say, well, what happens if we test some different calls to action in there? Can that $200,000, $300,000, $400,000 this year turn into $500,000, $600,000, $700,000 next year with the right testing? And that data can really increase that ROI over time and make it so that you never have to deal with a lull because you have the insight into your users to make improvements based on what may change in the industry.
Yeah, that's fascinating to me. And it almost sounds big brother to me. It's like, because you're basically watching and monitoring every step that a person takes, but it's for the good of giving them what they need, giving them what they're searching for. Right. So it may feel a little like you're monitoring people, but really that data is crucial to help you either gain conversions or disqualify people and make sure that they have a good experience either way when interacting with your brand.
I mean, let's be honest, it's creepy. You're watching recordings of people using websites. You're looking at where they're clicking. But to your point, it's not with malicious intent, right? It's to help them have less friction on your website.
Right.
And there is so much power that can be gained from that through asking quick surveys, right? You're using something and a survey slides in. Did you find what you need? Thumbs up, thumbs down. That quick input tells someone whether or not you're doing the right thing.
Right.
A lot of users won't do that, but the sample size that you get, it's valuable insight.
Yeah.
Every person listening to this goes to a website today and there is a slide-in thing that jumps up and says, will you accept or reject all cookies? Mm-hmm. We're used to getting these prompts to allow companies to get that data and gather it to improve our user experience. It's not like it's abnormal now.
Right.
Every website within reason has that. And users are so trained now. I mean, I accept it no matter what at this point. Like, I just click it out of habit.
Everybody does. And everyone knows, like, that's the modern world that we're living in. And that's when people are like, I don't understand. I was looking at a mattress and now I'm at a different place and it's retargeting me. It's like, it's your cookie settings. That's how they know. That's how they.
And there's optimization that goes into those cookie acceptances as well. And
that's
where that long-term benefit comes in. Building the website is step one of actualizing the ROI for that initial website investment. Mm-hmm. Making sure that you're getting the right things from that investment and putting it back into the website, that's where step 2, 3, 4, 5 comes into play, right?
Yeah.
Looking at where we needed to get to. Are we seeing the right signals? Now, what can we double down on to improve? And that can be something where you have a partner that helps you with that for the short term. For the long term, that is something that companies can staff internally and have someone that actually owns that part of the user journey. Different strokes for different folks, but at the end of the day, if we're talking ROI of website, we have to look at the short term, what we're hoping to get out of from that initial move, and the long term. Are we really turning this website into a sales tool that should help us not only better educate our prospects, but shorten our sales cycle, which only leads to increases in revenue?
Absolutely. Yeah. And those are crucial questions. And you work with our web team here at Impact. You have a ton of development experience. You're a freaking wizard, in my opinion. But you interface with a lot of clients and a lot of different clients in B2C, B2B, and everything in between, right? Do you have a story or something you could share with us where maybe a company wasn't doing this and you did a website redesign with them and really had these conversations about what ROI means, how to turn your website into a sales tool, and like where it took them from like A to B?
Yeah.
Yeah.
We've got a bunch of clients that come in for just that. I need a new website. We need to do this. We need to get it refreshed. And I mean, I've seen a lot of bad websites over the years and various degrees, right? So yes, step one is the refresh. It's getting that foundation of trust that we can start laying. And then looking at data points, we had a client that we relaunched their website, fundamental assumptions, right? We're looking at data for their blog articles, one of their highest trafficked ones. Conversion rate wasn't what it should be. We looked at the click maps and their team with us helping look through the data saw that they were getting a ton of clicks on an image that wasn't clickable. Why? Yeah, exactly. What's going on? Because
people wanted to click it.
Because people to click it. It has no factor in what we want. People wanted to click that image. So,
Oh, that's frustrating though, as an end user.
Right.
I'd be like, why isn't this working?
It's a term called rage click. You get 5 clicks right in a row. It's a rage click.
Yeah.
So we said, let's experiment. What if we made that go to an offer that's tangential to it? Because there was intent there from the user.
Sure.
So we linked that image in kind of contrast to what's going around it drove them to this offer. And I think they saw like a 40 to 50% increase in leads through that. And then
40 to 50% increase.
From linking an image.
Did everyone hear that? 40 to 50% increase in just from one.
In lead conversions to that, right? Wow. Like over wow. a matter of days, because they were getting good traffic to that article and it followed through.
Yeah.
Now,
damn.
Off the top of my head, I don't know where that landed from a sales standpoint, right? But that's one example of we didn't just stay with what we launched with. We started looking at what users are doing. And you may not find that diamond in the rough every single time. But if you're not looking, you're never going to find the diamond in the rough.
Right. It's got to be on your radar. Otherwise, you're never. And I liked what you said too earlier about A-B testing, where you could like, you might have changed that click through to mm-hmm. a form that didn't work. And then you can switch up that form or you can try to change right. the experience. So you can do different tests to see what it yields. And I think that's really a fascinating piece.
Yeah.
So for business owners, right, where do you draw the line, or like, how do you measure budgets when it comes to like keeping costs down or trying to stay efficient? Cause not everyone can spend $20,000, $30,000, $40,000 on a website redesign.
Right.
Yeah.
It goes into what are you willing to invest to see what you're hoping to get out of it. Mm-hmm. Right. And depending on the tech stack, depending on what you build, you may need to add in tools for the long term. You may have things built in. That's one of the reasons why I like building sites on HubSpot. With HubSpot CMS Pro, you have all the tools that you need, right? You have A-B testing built in. You can get that from an Unbounce, things like that. But as you're looking at what you need to invest, it goes into what your team makeup is, where you need to drive the results from this website. Because if you don't have people that can help keep it alive after, you're either looking at having an agency do it, which can be a bridge as you progress, or your website is going to get redesigned and it's not going to go anywhere.
Yeah.
So as you look at what you're about to invest, it's how fast do I need results, right? Websites are not instant gratification things. Even if you revamped it tomorrow, there's time for the SEO of things, right? Search engines have to recrawl. It's going to be a little bit of a longer play.
Mm-hmm.
But that investment can pay triple, 4x, 5x, depending on where you need to go.
And
one of our case studies, Roofcrafters, we talk about them a lot. Like their website started generating, I think it was $290,000 in leads a month or something like that.
Yeah.
And they're testing, they're looking at the data in that.
Right.
And the initial investment, small compared to that, right? That's a lot of revenue cranking through an optimized website.
Yeah.
And it depends on the size of the company, depends on what you're looking at, how complex your site actually needs to be.
So Vin, those are really good points. I have another question for our listeners, for our audience out there, especially for business leaders and owners that are thinking about redesigning their websites. How can they keep costs down, or people that have budget in mind and that are very like, you know, have to be mindful of their budgets? Mm-hmm. You know, websites can cost a lot of money. So what are things that you definitely should spend money on versus things that maybe you can add over time, or like just to keep costs in mind?
Yeah.
Yeah.
There's a lot of things that come to mind when we talk about controlling cost, right? So functionality is something that's going to drive cost up, right? Over design. And I say over design because a lot of companies want flash. They want glitter raining from the front page of their website.
Want everything flying in and all the animations. And
all of that is functionality and things that can add to cost or add to what a team needs to optimize around, right? I'm not saying that you should not have a well-designed aesthetic on your website. It needs to look modern. It needs to feel good for the user.
Yeah, totally.
But there's a line where you remember the worst design website you've ever seen. You've likely seen one in the last 3 days, but I'm going to challenge everyone listening to tell me the best design website that they've seen in the last couple of weeks, because you don't remember them. It's something that you notice when the design's bad.
Yeah.
You don't notice when the design's good. And that is something that can, for a lot of companies, they want to spend a lot of time in design because it's something that you can see, right? It's the visuals of the website. It's one of the first impressions.
Yeah.
But that is also one of the places where you can control cost, be efficient in your design process, and focus on what actually gives the best return on that initial investment, content and strategy, mapping out what that needs to be.
Mm-hmm.
So as you look at what you're about to go through with a website, who you're talking to needs to explain where those levers can be increased or decreased, right? If we need to go through logo redesigns, your design budget's going to go up a little bit. If we need to build out crazy custom calculators because you have them and they're integral, your budget will likely go up a little bit. Now, with building that in a new way, you should have more benefits to those types of tools, right? There should be ways to automate follow-ups and better segment your users from that. But mm-hmm. those are all factors that need to be brought into what that initial budget looks like. My opinion and my plan is always, what does a phased approach need to look like? If we really are budget conscious, what is that first step? Not an MVP, because an MVP immediately makes it feel like it's not a fully flushed out website. It is just duct tape and bubble gum. But what does a full first step need to be? And then what is phase two, phase three, as you're looking at what the data tells you and what you can add in to improve that user journey?
Yeah, I like that. And building off of it, like different stages, different phases, as you're saying, because I think all too often we see, I need to redesign my site because it needs to look better and I need new logos. And you spend a lot of money on design and a lot of money on those pieces. Mm-hmm. And then the CRM becomes an afterthought. And then it's like, oh, we're not tracking data, but it's okay because our logo is really pretty.
Right.
And that doesn't always give you the results that you want. So those are things to keep in mind and really thinking strategically about, like, hey, actually your CRM is the most important piece to mm-hmm. be able to track and manage this data so we can report on it correctly. And then phase two or three, then we can worry about redesigning your logo or whatever those other pieces are.
It's nice to have.
Yeah.
Right? The aesthetics should fall secondary to the right content, to the right messaging, and to the right user journey strategy on your website. And so often companies will focus on the aesthetics and not the core strategy around content in that journey.
So true. Yeah. And ideally in a perfect world, we want both, but if cost is a factor, which it usually is, mm-hmm. I would highly recommend, and it sounds like you're saying the same thing, that data is king and that all the other stuff is just really fluff and it can be sorted out later.
Yeah. At that point, if budget is the biggest thing, there's a lot of foundational optimized themes that you can use mm-hmm. to build a website fairly quickly. And that's one of the recommendations that I sometimes give. Focus on the content strategy. We don't need to do something super duper custom designed for you. Let's get a better website with stronger content and a plan. And then we can always build on top of that stable foundation, right?
Absolutely. Yeah, no, absolutely. So there's another question that I have. This is a big one. This is like kind of a loaded question. So I'm going to like vanguard you by saying, get ready. When you're redoing your website as a business owner, the decision that is always on the table is like, what agency do I go with? Do I pick this design agency? Do I pick this web company? Do I take it in-house and hire my own web developer to do it for me? That's a big decision to make. Mm-hmm. So it sounds like there's a lot of decisions in this process, but especially for this one, what do you typically recommend and what can people expect going with an agency or a design company versus in-house and like the pros and cons of all that?
It's a very, very, very big, it depends.
Yeah.
It depends on what your current team structure looks like. It depends on what you plan to bring your team structure to be. Mm-hmm. But it does come down to one kind of question in mind, right? It's, do we want to be able to own this website in-house long-term, or do we want to have an agency that's going to do all the things for us and we can't make changes or post content or do the things when we want to?
Yeah.
And that is the question I start with, because you can go to some agencies that won't build it in a way that is easy for the end marketer, for the end client to actually take. And they are the ones that will keep taking money month over month to make updates. And companies see decent results with that. Some companies see great results with that. You could also go the route of, to your point, I want to staff a developer. I want someone that's going to build this thing full cycle in-house and be able to maintain and own it. That's a route you could go. But then what happens if that developer says, I'm done here? Now no one can control your website. Those are some of the conversations we have around homegrown websites connected to a homegrown CMS. And there is a technical debt that can be attributed to some of that. But it is a route some companies go because they do have crazy complex and custom stuff. One of the routes that we would recommend, right, is work with someone that can build a website that will set you up for the long haul, that foundationally is set up in the right way, but it's built and strategized with the end user in mind, with the marketer that's going to go update content, create content, optimize a user journey around content and the touch points that the users need. That changes things. That is one of the questions that I would ask as you go through that initial process. What is phase two and three of this? What is the long-term part of the website and how do y'all factor in? Am I going to be paying you month over month for maintenance and ongoing support and monitoring, or am I going to pay you for training and conversion rate optimization and looking at the data what does it go in between there? Because there's all different packages that companies would put together, right?
Right. And all companies aren't the same. There's different right. industries and businesses and all that. So this, I know it's, again, a loaded, very loaded question here.
Yeah. Those are some of the questions to ask, though. What is the long-term plan for the website and how do you factor into that? What is your, and I get this question a lot, what's your maintenance and support packages look like? And if you've ever been on a call with me, you've heard this. I don't like maintenance and support packages because that is just you having a lifeline and a crutch instead of being able to do it yourself. Now, if something technical happens, we're here to support you, but taking a couple $100 a month just to be there, it's not a big value for anyone.
Right. And a lot of times it's almost like I joke, I call it my fat tax from Planet Fitness, but I don't go to the gym and I still pay the $10 a month, right? It's almost the same idea where like you're paying this money to an agency that you're not leveraging or using. So you're basically just throwing money away for them to be ready if you need them. Right.
That is one of the questions to ask. What does that ongoing piece look like? Mm-hmm. If something goes wrong, how do you factor in? If we're not going to be on an ongoing retainer, what does that project to project basis look like? What happens if I need to do this in the future? Yada, yada, yada. And those are conversations that need to happen. So you understand what that initial investment looks like, what some of the potential long-term costs look like, and making sure that you have your hands wrapped around what you're about to create for your company. So you don't gain a lot of that technical debt, stuff that was just created over the long haul that now needs to be fixed in the future.
Yeah. So key takeaways for me, it really sounds like if you're getting into redesigning your website, you should really be thinking about it as a sales tool to help drive more leads and traffic to your sales team so that they have a pocket full of potential opportunities, right? But then also thinking about the fact that it's not just a set it and forget it. It's a living, breathing part of your organization. It's a sales tool that needs to be updated and changed as your service and your business has changed too. So those are things that people really have to keep in mind. But before we go, is there anything else, any other major takeaways that we should say about ROI before we wrap up here today?
Make sure you're reporting on it. Otherwise, you will never see that ROI. Focus on closing that reporting loop and make sure that you can actually see what you're getting out of your investment. So often companies don't put the time into that reporting. And then it's just a giant question mark on what the ROI of that website plan was.
Absolutely. Couldn't agree more. Vin, great insights. Thank you for your time. It's great having you on the show always. If people have follow-up questions or want to talk more about web design, redesigns, anything that has to do with development, how can they get in touch with you?
Reach out on LinkedIn or hit me at coach@impactplus.com.
All right. And that's our show. So thank you for tuning in to the Endless Customers podcast. We really appreciate you listening and we will see you on the next episode. And hey, don't forget that we have episodes every Monday and Wednesday releasing on all major platforms. So be sure to go subscribe. That way you won't miss out on how you can earn trust and win customers in the age of AI.